What's going on, everybody? It's your host, HD, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Tech. And we have a special guest with us today. If you're familiar with Linux or you've been on YouTube a lot, you probably know him as Keep It Techie. Also goes by Josh. I don't know what else he goes by. He's representing them Saints. And yeah, man, I'm glad you could be here with us today. Can you just introduce yourself for the listeners?
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm Josh from Keep It Techie, and I've been in the IT field for like 15 years, and I created my YouTube channel just to mainly help people get into the IT field as well as learn and understand Linux, the Linux operating system. So that's pretty much about me.
Perfect, perfect. So were all those 15 years, were they directly related to Linux? Or let's do like this. How did you start? Like, how did you get your start? And then you can talk about like your background as far as like where you kind of grew up at, college, high school, you know, whatever, army, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Yeah. But okay. So I started my, I started my IT career back in 2007. And this was, it was a little bit different of a time back then. It wasn't a real big push, you know, for certifications and all that stuff. It was mainly about degrees at the time, or getting a degree in order to get into the IT field. And so I grew up in Louisiana. I went to a small technical school called Remington College, where I took a computer networking course, where I got a networking associate's degree in networking. And it was a lot of hands-on training. And I think that degree actually helped me, you know, get my first job or whatever in the IT field. And the reason I say it that way, because I kind of started off in what nowadays you would call a high level position, which was a network administrator. And at the end of the day, nowadays, you can't just hop right into a network administration role. You kind of got to work your way up to it. So that's why I say I got kind of lucky. And it was the time framing of when I got out of school, as well as getting into the field. So, but yeah, I've worked in different positions. I've worked as a, like I said, a network administrator, systems administrator. And back then, you know, IT guys, you had to wear multiple hats. So I worked on the servers as well. You know what I'm saying? Maintain the network, worked on the servers, as well as set up like different types of servers for the network, and then configuring it all. So kind of jack of all trades when it came to, you know, managing and running the whole network. Nowadays, a lot of this stuff is broken up into different kind of departments or whatever. You know, you got your help desk people, they'll go in and do basic Active Directory stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's not much configuration at that level, you know, nowadays. But anyway, but go ahead. Yes.
No, you good. I was like, you can cook. This was
for sure, man. You know, for sure. Well,
for yours.
Yeah. Well, I just keep going about this. I also worked on government contracts, and that's one of the things I'm currently working on now. And I kind of fell into database work. I didn't know much about databases at all. Throughout my career. And that's one thing about getting into the IT field. You really don't know where you're going to end up a lot of times. You'll start off saying, oh, I want to do this one thing, and then end up in a totally different area. And that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to the IT field. You never really know where it's going to take you, because at the end of the day, IT, when most people say, oh, I want to get into IT, they don't understand that it's pretty much an umbrella. You know what I'm saying? And then you got all these different areas underneath IT. And you could end up in any of those areas depending on what you're interested in, as well as what types of jobs you can get into and what routes you actually take as far as schooling and certifications go.
Hey, that's facts, especially with IT, man. But if you tell somebody you do anything with computers, they think you know how to do everything, especially in your family. Yeah. My computer doing this thing, you come look at it. I guess. I mean, this ain't what I do, but I'm decent. It's kind of like being a mechanic, in my, you know, humble opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a mechanic of a family, everybody, especially black people, all of us got a mechanic in the family that you just take everything to him. And he might say, you know, give me $100 and maybe some beer. And you good to go. But you said you were born and raised in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I see you got the Saints hat on. So you from the southern part?
I grew up in Baton Rouge. So that's, yeah, it's like an hour away from New Orleans. Most people, when they hear, and you probably know that too, because I'm familiar with where you from. When most people say, you know, or when you tell people you're from Louisiana, they automatically assume you're from New Orleans. So that's why I always use that as a reference point. I grew up like an hour away from New Orleans. So.
And I just normally say, you know, I'm just in the northwest part of Louisiana. Like, I'm closer to Dallas. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess I can get it because, you know, being from the south, even though we're neighbors to Texas, first thing I probably think about when I hear Texas is Dallas and then maybe Houston. Mm-hmm. And if I'm thinking about California, oh, you from L.A.? You know? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what's up, man. Pretty much kind of like gave us like a high level, you know, review of kind of where you started. You went to Remington. Actually, I want to touch on that because I'm a huge advocate. I remember we talked about this on your channel. I'm actually an advocate of like not spending boatloads of money on education and going somewhere. And also, you know, you could tell me more than, you know, I can because I never did it because I went to a university. But I believe in programs like that is actually better learning because the class size is smaller and you get a little bit more hands on with the professors instead of, you know, granted Tech was a moderate size. So actually our class size wasn't that bad in our major classes, but you know, other schools, you know, you probably got 100 plus people in the class. It's hard for a professor, you know, to really help you out with that. So could you give, you know, your experience with going to Remington College for us?
Yeah, I definitely can. It was, to be honest, that was a great experience. Even though it kind of hit my pockets a little too much, because then a traditional university, because I could have went to Southern for about half the price for an associate's degree.
Really?
But yeah,
I was on the assumption Remington would be cheaper than, you know, going to Southern or
actually I should have said the community college, not Southern. I could have got a associate's degree, so to speak, from like the community college, Baton Rouge Community College, you know, for cheaper. I'm sure for the classes that I took in the beginning, you know, as far as like regular math and, but to be honest, I didn't have the SAT score, you know, high enough to actually get into one. I scored like a 16 or something like that. And I think I could have got in. Well, I could have gotten in, but they was going to start me off in some of the, you know, lower classes, kind of like almost taking high school English and all this stuff again, pretty much taking high school courses in college again. You see what I'm saying? And so I didn't want to do that. And then Remington had that program and it'll start me right into the program. And 2 years from there, I'll be finished. But no, it was a great experience. Like you were saying about the smaller classes. Now, I didn't go to any traditional college, so I didn't sit in any of those classes. I didn't have that experience. That's probably one thing I kind of missed out on. But I joined the Army as well. So I was going to school after, you know, a lot of people that I graduated from school went to college. They, you know, they already had that college experience. So it didn't matter to me because I would say most of the people I would have been starting school with would have been younger than me, I guess. And I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. You know, that don't matter. But yeah, with Remington, though, the classes were a whole lot smaller. You know what I'm saying? It was more intimate with the professor teaching us the, you know, the stuff. And You know, you get your questions answered and all that stuff. And then also with that program, we got our own laptop. Once you got to a certain level in the program, well, actually, they gave it to us in the beginning. And, you know, you use that laptop throughout the whole program, you know what I'm saying, to do all your assignments and everything on. And then also the hands-on stuff, I wanted to touch on that. Like you said, the hands-on stuff was awesome. Got to set up, you know, domain controllers. You know, they had a small lab, you know, where we can network computers, we can clone hard drives, we can do all that stuff that you would typically do in a position, you know, right there in school. So that was very beneficial, because as soon as I got that job, I pretty much knew what to do. And that's all I had was that associate's degree. I didn't have any certifications or anything until, you know, later on. So.
Man, that's what's up, man, because I mean, we're in a, man, it's a better word for what I'm going to probably say, but like, we're in a time right now where kids that's, you know, trying to get in tech, they saying, man, bump regular school. I'm finna go to a boot camp. I'm finna, you know, go to somebody that can really show me. And I like that. A lot of us didn't really have that option or didn't really know. I know for me, I think out of all my major classes, we really only did one class had labs where it's like a forensics class, and we actually did stuff like put stuff on the hard drive. I mean, not hard drive, on a flash drive, delete it, restore it. And I forgot what program we used. Was it Encase, FTK? Either way, it really don't matter. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that through all those classes, I really didn't learn much. I mean, I learned theory, high levels things, but nothing that I could say if I go on an interview and say, well, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. I know how to do this. And that's kind of the problem that I am still seeing from schools. Like, I had one of my first clients with my company. She graduated years after I did. I graduated in, 2013 from college. Mm-hmm. And she graduated, I want to say 2019 from LA Tech. Same major. They were doing the same curriculum I did. And I got, like, frustrated because I was like, I know for a fact they didn't really learn nothing because I didn't really learn nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, truth be told, most of the time your first job is when you learn the most, unless you had internships or you had a hands-on like you did where y'all had projects where now on your resume, you didn't get an internship. Said, well, my project was, hey, we set up domain controllers. We enable access to users. We set up exchange servers.
All this stuff, right.
So you could say you did that. So, like, oh, okay, you know how to do this. Me, on the other hand, oh, yeah, I passed the class. You know,
and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one thing I tell people, you know, that I talk to. I actually got more out of that associate's degree than my bachelor's degree, because like you said, same thing with me. Once I went through my bachelor's program, a lot of it was theory. It was just talking about cybersecurity hacks and different things that were going on at that time period. Also I didn't go to a traditional school. I went online, so it's a little bit different, but a lot of it was paper writing, you know what I'm saying? High level, you know, just theory type of work, more than the actual practical work that you will gain or practical experience that you will gain from a position or something more hands-on. So.
Right. Now, I think I remember I had a networking class, and our project. Now, if I would have played this right, we did have to develop a network. We had to start with the physical, and then we had to start with, okay, cool. Where are we going to run the network closets? Are we going to have them like all like on the same thing on floors 1, 2, and 3? And then what type of routers and switches, and how are we going to do this? So that was, I will say it was fine, but we didn't really get to touch any of that stuff, like far as that. Now, I did have a benefit of, so I had a work study job in college, and my boss, shout out to Mr. Eddie, I'm going to get him on here one day. He was the IT manager of the whole school of business. So Tech ended up getting like a really nice new college of business built. And he was pretty much the integral part of designing like everything from the networks and then far as from the podiums the professors use with the smart podiums and all that type of stuff. So that was one benefit I had. I don't think I really leveraged that like I should have when I was there. But, you know, when you're young, you don't really know. You just don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you did mention that you went to, I don't know if you said you went to the Army. I think you said mm-hmm. you went to the Army, right? Okay.
Yeah.
How many years did you do in the Army?
Oh, man, I always forget to bring it up, but I did 14 years in the Army, but it was all reserve time. So one thing I always talk about with joining the military, you know, it gives you, that discipline as well as the benefits that you get from it. Now, one thing, you know, like I said, the discipline, you know, I kind of already had. I just kind of adjusted to a little more, or got a little more out of it by joining the military, because my parents was, you know, kind of strict on me or whatever a little bit. But then I got more discipline when I joined the military. But the benefits are great. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. And I know you could, you know, lose your life. We just saw in the news, you know, what was that? 14 troops just got blown up over in Afghanistan. So it's always that chance you have to go overseas, you know, and fight for the country and everything. But the benefits, in my opinion, a lot of times are worth it, because you can get a lot of school benefits. Like my associate's degree was pretty much paid for. You know what I'm saying? I had to take out a few loans, but it was pretty much paid for by the GI Bill, as well as my bachelor's degree. So that's one cool thing about it. And once you become a veteran, you know what I'm saying, you can take advantage of all those veteran benefits, like, for instance, the VA loans. And it's just a whole lot of benefits that you can get out of joining the military. So I had a good career. You know what I'm saying? I injured my knee as well as my ankle. So I get VA, you know, benefits from that. But, you know what I'm saying? In my opinion, and based on my experience, and all I could do is speak on my experience, it was a great experience. You know, I learned a lot. I got to travel the world. I got to see places I probably never thought I would ever see because of, I mean, I grew up in Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? You don't expect to, well, in my opinion, well, where I was from, you know, a lot of people was dying young, you know what I'm saying? I never expected to, you know, go overseas or go across the, you know, Atlantic Ocean, spend time in Dubai and all these different places or whatever, if I hadn't joined the military. Now, another way it has helped me, by being in the military or joining the military, you get that clearance. That's one thing that will help you out a whole lot. Especially if you're trying to get an IT field and you go in for an IT position, that clearance will actually help you. You can also, because I brought up earlier about contracting, I'm a contractor now, DoD contracting. So the way I was able to obtain those jobs that pay a whole lot of bread, you know what I'm saying, is that clearance. Because a lot of times they look in, these companies are looking for people that already have a clearance. Because those clearances are very expensive to actually get. And when you join the military, the government is going to pay for it. They have to. You know what I'm saying? The military is going to pay for it, for the positions that you're going in for. So when you get out, that clearance is still valid until it expires. And then you can get into a position and use that clearance. And it's easier to get it renewed, or it's cheaper to get it renewed versus paying for it. That's why they always look for people with the clearance already. That way it saves that company that's contracting money, you know, on the front end of actually processing the clearance.
Yeah, man. Man, I had a lot I was gonna say in my mind right there. I was gonna say, first of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, appreciate it.
Two, about the clearance thing. So you have a top secret?
No, I got a secret.
Okay. Now I was gonna ask, because I'm weird, but I think I have two, or either they add on something to your clearance. I end up getting, you know, my first clearance for pretty much being a contractor for TSA on the help desk.
Okay.
And like you pointed out to the military, a lot of my clients or people, I get people from the East Coast, and a lot of them in the DMV area are like, man, if I get that clearance, I'm good. I'm trying to get that clearance. But sometimes the issue is that they are already trying to do competitive cyber jobs and trying to get that clearance. But, you know, one of the things I probably, you know, try to tell people, like, hey, you can take a little easier job that gets you a secret clearance. And then, hey, you're good. Because sometimes the job description will say must have or be able to obtain.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right.
Now with COVID, I know like the background checks have probably been taking a while. I know one of the things happened to me when I was working was that I was doing help desk at the time. They had the OPM breach. And then so no new people could get hired during that time because of that, which, you know, had other BS related to it. But that's neither here nor there when it comes to that. But so did you ever, okay, outside the military, did you ever work overseas with your clearance?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did. And I'm glad you kind of remind me of it because, yeah, I worked in Afghanistan for about 4.5 years on a DOD contract as a database administrator. That's how I got into database work. And let me just go on and tell you the whole story then.
Get your popcorn ready, folks.
I got hired on as a, what was it called? What do they call that? Basically like working with spreadsheets. I can't even remember what it's called, like a functional data analyst. That's what it was, okay. A data analyst. Because with the military loves spreadsheets with everything. So I got real good with spreadsheets in my job, you know, with the military, just tracking data or tracking, you know, equipment, things like that, because I was a logistics guy in the military. So we was always tracking stuff. And so the spreadsheet things, I kind of got that down, you know what I'm saying? I understood pivot tables, pivot charts, you know, creating all this stuff to present to command, you know, higher command, because a lot of times that's what they want to see, you know, the overall numbers. So I got hired on because of that Excel experience. As an analyst. And when I got in the position, the person that was actually the database developer or database administrator wasn't doing what the section area wanted. And it didn't look like he was going to be able to complete it in whatever time frame they wanted. And it seemed like he was just pushing it along and not really, you know, trying to finish it, to be honest. And so they got rid of him and moved him to a different area. So it was me and four other analysts. And so what we were supposed to be able to do, or what we were supposed to do, was take all the data that came in on the spreadsheets and put it into whatever database that this person was supposed to build. So at that point, we didn't have nobody that was going to build it. So I got on Amazon because we was all panicking, like, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? These people want this application. We can't provide it for them. I don't know how to build a database. And so we was panicking. I went on Amazon because Amazon was the only way we can get stuff over there a lot of times, unless your family send you stuff. But Amazon, I ordered one of those access books. Database, you know, the little database access books. And I learned that shit. I learned that connected to the, you know, SQL backend, built out the database, built a way to import all the data that we was receiving monthly into that and spit out reports and stuff. So basically, I went through the whole process of building that and learning at the exact same time because I really didn't know what I was doing. And that's kind of how I fell into database work, by developing that. And once I developed that, they kept me around. I was like one of the only people that I was like one of the last people that last on that contract because I had all the knowledge of the application that I built, 4 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I kept maintaining that, adding new features and all that stuff to it. And you know, so that was super dope. And I had never thought I would understand how SQL worked. work? Because I always looked at SQL as like, oh, that sound crazy. I don't want to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like programming. I never really got into programming because, I learned a little bit, you know, some .NET, some VBA and stuff like that. But I never really had an interest of getting into SQL, kind of like with the programming thing. I never had an interest to get into it. I probably could have learned it, but, you know, if I had to. And in this case, I was forced to learn the database stuff. So that's how I fell into it and built out the application. That was super cool.
Man, that's nice, man, because what people don't know is SQL is still pretty much a sought out skill. Like everybody still don't know how to use SQL. And they're always needing people, especially for, I want to say for, like you said, already doing with database, data analytics as well, because that's a new, you know, hotbed field that everybody is trying to get into. Without divulging too much, I think you follow me on Twitter and, I follow Bees, and she's always putting people on game about if you get a clearance working overseas, you know, because the benefits. Like I know right now, if you work overseas, the first, I think, 107K is, you know, untaxed.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want, because I haven't talked to somebody in a while that knows about that culture, because I had a friend, he's been, let's see, we were doing help desk together back in 2014, 2015, then he's been overseas ever since. I'm talking about, I see him in Dubai. He living it up. He's doing everything. You care to, without, you know, getting too personal, tell us a little bit about that and if somebody wanted to get overseas, like any advice for him?
Yeah. And I just go down and break it down because I don't work for these companies anymore. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying anything, you know, disclosing anything that can get me in trouble. But, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these positions pay over $100,000, depending on what it is. It all depends on what it is. And then I was working in, and I'll just give you an example of where I was at. When I was in Afghanistan, I was making 220 at the highest point. So like you said, and it's based on inflation. They change it every year. I believe it goes up. And that was my first time hearing that number. You just said 107K is tax-free. When I was over there, it was like 99 at the time. Okay. So, you know, over inflation, you know what I'm saying? It is going up. It went up every year I was over there. So, it's tax-free 100,000, you know what I'm saying? That's tax-free money. You ain't got to pay taxes on it. As long as you don't come in the country, and just to give you some insight, if you in the U.S. for, it's either 35 days or 40 days within that tax year, you have to pay taxes on that amount. So just some advice, and that's why I kind of like recommending stuff to young dudes or whatever, or young chicks that ain't got no family or responsibility where you want to come home or you missing people and stuff. Go travel. You know what I'm saying? Like I got a couple homeboys. They ain't got no family at home. Just like what you're saying. That's been working over there since like 2012. You know what I'm saying? 2011, you know, still doing contract work overseas. And they travel to the, you know, the Philippines, Thailand, you know, Dubai, all the Middle East, you know what I'm saying? Europe,
Korea,
going through Europe. Yeah, Korea, all these different places, you know, Hawaii, you know, just going to places you typically wouldn't. Most people don't go to while they living in the States. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, the world is your oyster at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because you got the money, you know, and it's coming in, you know, every 2 weeks on that government contract. As long as you don't do nothing stupid, as long as you continue doing what you're supposed to do, the money going to keep coming in. Or, well, yeah, obviously the contract can end. But that's always the case. You know what I'm saying? You always, that's one thing about government contracting that a lot of people don't, the stability is not 100% there. You know what I'm saying? They could say, okay, we don't need this contract anymore and end it. So that is that possibility. But, you know, the world is your oyster. You got the money, you got the, you know, you already on that continent. You know what I'm saying? The European, you already over there. So flights are super cheap. You can go all through that area super cheap. Yeah, I mean, I know a couple people that go to Africa all the time. You know what I'm saying? That was over there. Every time they took leave, they went to Africa. So long as you don't step, long as you don't get a stamp on your passport saying you came into the U.S. within that tax year, then it's tax-free up to that amount. Yep.
Okay. Or can they do it like, can they stagger it? So can they come back like 10 days and then go back in? As long as they don't go over like 35-day threshold, then they good. Yep. Okay.
Good to go.
Well, hey, y'all just got some free game right there because I didn't know that. And like you said, it is a young man's game because I had always thought about possibly doing it, but now I got a little girl, then I got another one on the way. So it's just like, you know, unless you just got to sacrifice, you know, if that's your only play, then do it. But, you know, it's not ideal if you got a family.
Yeah, I almost went through a divorce behind that because the money was so good. But my wife was like,
I can't do this no more.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care about the money. I was like, look at what we doing, though. You know what I'm saying? Got this nice house and all this stuff. Yeah, I almost went through a divorce behind that because I was trying to keep that money coming in, bro. And it gets addicting. You know what I'm saying? Especially trying to keep up that, not that I was overspending, but trying to keep up that same, maintain that same lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? It's that, and you, that money come. I mean, think about it. Most people don't understand it. I'll put it in this way. Every 2 weeks, and this was, you know, every 2 weeks, I was getting about, every 2 weeks, what was it?
I think I probably got the numbers for you. It probably was around,
I'm trying to think.
It's probably like, six or seven.
Yeah, $6,000 every 2 weeks I was getting. Just to put it in perspective. So $12,000 a month.
And listen, trust me, I know because this was me recently, these last couple of months, but because I'm older, I didn't go crazy. I did a lot of smart stuff with it. And that's one of my last recent videos I did was telling people like, hey, just because you make more, you ain't got to spend more.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
Have fun every now and then, but, you know, be moderate unless you can replace that income pretty fast.
Yep. And invest.
That's funny.
I don't want to go down that road, but. Right. I'm sorry.
It's funny how you said something about the culture because years ago when I talked to one of my mentors about it, he was like, yeah, overseas is nice. He said, but let me tell you something about that overseas. Like when you're over there, it's when they're Rome do, it's the Romans do type of stuff. You know, this night, this guy might say, hey, we going to the steakhouse. I got everybody. You know, when your night come up, you gotta, you know, say, oh, well, I got everybody and stuff like that. And he was just like, you know, sometimes it's like that. And it could potentially, if you don't, you know, being the go along, get along gang, shout out to Kwame Brown, you know, you might not get renewed or something, you know? So he had gave me like kind of insight on that. Cause he was in the Air Force and then he had, I think some contracting business, something he did overseas for some years. So he had the game on that when he told me about that. So since you pretty much, I guess you're not doing those type of contracts anymore, do you work for a company that puts you on different contracts or are you just your own person that just does different contracts with like certain like hiring staffing companies?
No, I'm actually currently on a government contract. I'm hired on by a company.
Okay.
That, you know, that has they're actually a sub. So I'm actually a subcontractor to the main company that has the contract through the DOD. So that's
how it was. Yeah. When I worked for when I first worked for TSA, I was working for Apex. So Apex hired us and then we were working for CSC who had the contract. And then after that I got hired by CSC, which later turned into General Dynamics.
And that's funny. That's who I work for, Apex.
Oh, really?
I currently work for Apex. But I work for General Dynamics, too. Okay. Yeah, that was funny.
Apex was cool, but see, I was young. And I was I was 20, 21 or 22 at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was really green in the space and not knowing about, like, they promised everybody one thing when we came on the contract, but then they had to negotiate with CSC and stuff changed. Mm-hmm. And they didn't let us know that.
Yeah.
Older me would always be asking them every time, hey, is this? Or, you know, if y'all listening right now, I tell anybody, if you're doing a contract, hey, get the whatever the maximum they're going to pay per hour, get that. Because most of the time with the contract work, you could get benefits, but it's so expensive because you got to pay for your own. And most of the time, if Apex did a saying, you get paid weekly.
Oh, well, I get paid weekly.
Yeah, yeah. See, we used to get paid weekly. So it's like, it used to add up pretty quick, like with those expensive benefits that really weren't the best. So try to get as much money as you can. Back then, in that help desk role, it wasn't that much money in there, but they did have a lot of other people that was in there with us that was eating. I worked with like a lot of ex-military people, and I found out a lot of interesting things about, like, when you mentioned like the VA stuff. I was like, man, that seemed like the play right there. Get that almost that 100% VA disability, and then get you a job. Like, I seen a lot of people doing that.
Oh yeah,
people's divorced at like 23. I'm like, I saw a lot. But for those that don't know, your channel is pretty much based on Linux.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up really with just delving hard into Linux, and then, you know, kind of like really, you know, the Linux, you really like the Linux specialist right now. Like, you need to, hey, now while we on right now, you need to go ahead and make you a Linux course, whether you said on Udemy or it's on keepittechie.com, because you're giving them too much game for free and they ain't gonna respect it till they pay for it.
Yeah, you're right, man. I actually got the course written out. I just got to go through and record all the videos because I was going to put it in a video format. So it's crazy you brought that up, but I'm actually working through the process of creating that now. And it'll actually be centered around the Linux Plus exam, even though, and that's the thing, I'm kind of waiting around because I believe they're going to retire the exam. So I may have to redo a lot of my coursework before the new exam. So that's what's slowing me down right now. But the reason I got into Linux, and I probably should have explained this earlier, my first position, I walked into the door or whatever. It was a network administrator job, systems administrator job, so to speak, because they hired me on because I knew how to set up Windows servers and manage Windows servers because of that associate's degree that I had from Remington College. So when I first walked in the door in the back room, in the back little server room, there was another systems administrator back there, and he pretty much had the whole network set up, you know, but he was using Linux. And after they, you know, brought me back or whatever, and he introduced me to him, and it's like, this is where you're going to be working at. This is, you know, Ill Willie. And they left. He started explaining to me because I'm like, what the hell is Linux? I had never heard of that before. You know what I'm saying? I never seen it before. You know, I had never used it before in any capacity. And that's something they don't teach you in school at all. They don't talk about Linux operating systems in most of these programs. And so, he kind of walked me through it and showed me about it because they gave us the opportunity to set up our own little desktop or whatever. We could do whatever we wanted to back there because we managed the network. We kept all the computers up, but he walked me through installing Linux and kind of showed me and explained to me, you know, what it was all about. And I kind of got hooked. I kind of got the Linux bug. And so I've been playing with Linux ever since then. And this was 2008 when I first moved out to Las Vegas. So, 2008, I started playing around with Linux. I can't remember what version of Ubuntu it was. I think it was like 11 or 12 around that time. That's what I was playing around with. And then he showed me how to set up servers and all that stuff. Because it was crazy. He was running their whole network using, you know, a Linux firewall. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was pfSense at the time, but he was just managing everything using the a Linux operating system. And I thought it was super cool. And so, and especially when I started seeing like the whole spinning desktops and stuff, I don't know if you ever seen it, is that whole compass config stuff. I don't know, that just kind of blew my mind when I saw the desktop spinning, you know, on the screen or whatever. So that was super dope. But ever since then, I've been interested in Linux, and I started this channel back in like 2015. After I got back from Afghanistan, I was just looking for something else to kind of do. My wife had a channel really while I was, the whole time I was overseas, but she was doing like all this makeup and hair stuff or whatever. And she kind of talked me into it because I talked her into starting that. And so I just started putting up videos on Linux and then that's another thing. In order to get good with Linux or understand Linux in a certain capacity, I was always on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? Watching other people that made Linux videos. And so I was like, I could do that too, especially since I'm learning it. And then I also didn't see anybody that looked like me talking about it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, well, I could bring some diversity to the Linux community by throwing myself out there and start making videos, you know, about the Linux operating system. And in my little slang, you know, with my type of flavor to it. You know what I'm saying? So I just started making those videos and just kept making them, you know what I'm saying? And just been growing ever since, you know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. It's always been a, you know, kind of like a hobby, something I did on the side. That's why I don't always put up videos. I need to do more, especially since it's starting to grow a little more. But it's always been like a hobby for me, you know what I'm saying? Nothing to make money off of it. And then I started incorporating the whole interviews because everybody knows me for... or the people that know my channel or knew my channel before, they know me from Linux, from talking about Linux or, you know, whatever. So I was like, I mean, I don't even do this in my real life, Linux in my real life. So let me try to start bringing on people that actually work in the IT field that I know about. You know what I'm saying? And then I started meeting a lot more IT people. You know, I met you, the one life foot, Gabe, Bay, different people that work in the tech field that have different experiences and work in different areas of IT. I was like, let me just start doing that so I can, you know, highlight these other people that are in the IT field. You know what I'm saying? That may have something else, something going on, because everybody starts with zero subscribers. You know what I'm saying? Right. Everybody. I started with zero subscribers. So, and I remember how hard it was to actually get my first 100 subscribers. So I started my channel to help people with Linux, but it expanded to more, just helping other people that are talking about the IT, you know, IT field or anything dealing with tech, Linux, you know, Windows, whatever. So that's another, I guess, thing I added to what I wanted to do with my channel. So that's how it all started. And that's where it is right now.
Nice. Yeah, for me, it's similar, kind of the same. Well, before this channel, I had a boxing channel. And
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's still up. I changed mm-hmm. the name. I don't have time to really report on. I really don't keep up with it like I used to. I mean, I just watched the Yordanis Ugas versus Pacquiao fight. I watched that fight, but
okay.
I don't really get a chance to, like, I used to, man, that's... Channels that's on sports, like, oh, I think yeah. you'd be busy with trying to do, like, how we try to do YouTube. I'm talking about back then, you would, if you want to be a good YouTuber, you're probably putting out 4 or 5 videos a day. And you chopping mm-hmm. them up because they on, like, certain subjects. Oh, Errol Spence said this. Bob Arum said this about Terrence Crawford. This and that. So I put a lot of energy into that channel, but did not get the same success as the effort I was putting into. And now, one of the things mm-hmm. I realized is One, because nobody really cared about boxing. That's one.
Yeah.
Two, it was because, you know, I really feel like that's not something I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's more natural, so I'm meant to do. You know, I was a guy talking about a sport that I never did. So it's also, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm talking about something I did, experiences that I can give to people.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, you know, I think it's finally, you know, algorithm finally caught up to me as well. I want to say it really started even going off more after I came on with you. And I think I found you from tapping into DeJuan's channel. I seen y'all on there, and then that's how I seen you. And I'm just glad, like, it just helped me, you know, also introduce to different people, but like networking, you know, now somebody I put a face with a voice, like, oh yeah, you know, that's a solid dude. You know, you should hit him up to do, you know, whoop de woo. And my channel was just turned into, you know, career advice. If it may be a little bit sometimes about money, I have to see how I really do that. Fez be watching sometimes, but but definitely, I think these are good avenues because, like, I've been telling people years ago, even if we go back 5 years ago, it wasn't a lot of us on there talking about that. And
not at all.
I might like, I don't know, on Twitter is probably my best audience right now, because Twitter always catches on to the stuff I say, and they, you know, they just run with it. I've said, like, I realized, like, the most black people I've seen at work with me was when I did help desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, as I kept on going up, I seen less and less. And so I was like, you know, I think I felt like that was an issue. I think that's been changed a little bit. Like, as it stands right now on my team, it's three of us. It's me, my guy Pat, and Dayspring. You interviewed him too. So it's us three, and then we might be.
Okay, yeah.
We might be adding a fourth amigo soon. So who knows about that? But that's definitely cool about how you started, because that's another thing about YouTube. It's not for the faint of heart. A lot of people on the outside looking in, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna start me a channel, boom, I'm gonna get all these subscribers.
Yeah.
And it's a learning curve, because it's a different platform. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna give y'all some YouTube game, guys. You gotta know about SEO, how to make good thumbnails, make sure your video is adding value, you know, mm-hmm. try to have it as least skippable as possible, learn how to interpret your analytics, you know, it's a lot. And your videos don't always hit, no matter how much clickbait or something. You know, if your video is not good, it's not going to hit, no matter what you put in the thumbnail or whatever. People are watching and click right off.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that you got to figure out. So whatever your niche is, also study your niche. You know, if you got a niche that's boring, then probably not the time for a YouTube channel. But if you got a niche that's interesting, and there's some, you know, room for growth right there, go at it. So that's some, you know, some general YouTube advice that I would give anybody. Just keep on making good content, focus on good quality, and YouTube gonna finally catch your video. I think my biggest video today is like at 20K, and that video didn't even hit when it first came out. And it just started hitting. It's a day in the life video. Those are actually video. I don't know if you did one yet.
Nah.
You probably should do it. You should do a day in the life video.
Okay.
That'll definitely hit, and you'll start seeing it. Like, man, yeah, all type of comments on there. It'd be funny to me. I'd be laughing. And you got to be built for it too. You can't be, if you're going to be on YouTube, you can't be sensitive.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to eat you alive. So that's one thing that you can't do on here. So
yeah, you can't let them comments get to you. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta be strong minded. You know what I'm saying? You can't. Cause I mean, I've even had racist comments on my channel. I didn't know Obama knew how to use Linux, you know, stuff like that or whatever.
It'd
you
be
know
funny
what I'm
to
saying?
Me.
Yeah, yeah. So you,
I probably
you
say can't. Something like Trump don't.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, and then also, like you said, the analytics is always changing. You know what I'm saying? The way the algorithm works as well. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep up or whatever. And it's not always constantly changing, but it does change. And like certain things that worked last year may not work this year. You know what I'm saying? The way you're putting your thumbnails together. So you got to constantly look at the market, and trial and error, and try to push out things and test it out and see what works. Like my highest video, and I'm glad you brought that up, but my highest video is actually a video showing people how to set a static IP address on a Ubuntu server. And that's only because people search that all the time, because it's not even difficult though. That's the thing. Once you look at it, it's not difficult, but everybody searches it. And so I did one for Ubuntu 18, and then that one took off and I got like 15K views. And so I was like, okay, well, let me just redo it. And I redid it for Ubuntu 20. And when the 18 started tapering off, the 20 started picking up. You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing. You got to look at whatever you're talking about and capitalize on the new of whatever you're talking about. Let me just say it that way, if that makes sense.
Thanks. And I also like to add, guys, you can use add-ins like, dang it, this would be a good time to put my affiliate link for TubeBuddy. I think it'll be in the description. But I use TubeBuddy. TubeBuddy has also like a SEO optimizer that will help you when you're making your video, how it'll listen, search, and all that type of stuff. So TubeBuddy, vidIQ, something like that is a little bit more more enriched data than what you get from your regular analytics on YouTube. So check those out. TubeBuddy, you can use that for free, and vidIQ you can use for free. Can't use certain features on them, but check those two out. I believe they can work great for you. But that's cool though, man. I'm glad everybody's I don't know, it just seemed like over COVID, like everybody's YouTube, like kind of like want to start their YouTube, and you know, it started going because people are on YouTube all the time, like, man, how can I work from home, and looking for like, you know, work from home jobs and like that. So that's pretty dope. But let's get back into like what you do. I know one of the things that I want to do eventually is possibly outside of the company thing I do now. I think I actually do want to be like start my own company and like where either we come in and strategize to help companies bring their socks up to date, or I actually have a company where, you know, we are a sock or something. So it's kind of one of those things. I'm still trying to figure it out. What about you? Do you have any aspirations to do something like that as far as like on the IT side?
I thought about it. I actually started something a while back as well. This was when that whole SEO boom was happening. People were selling SEO. I was looking at building websites and optimizing websites and everything, because I do have some experience building websites and using the content management systems. Obviously, it wasn't, you know, from scratch, you know, like I was using Joomla back then, you know what I'm saying? And so I started a business trying to, I know right now that everybody was using that stuff back then, though, but, and WordPress too was, you know, coming around too, but, I kind of tried to start, but I'm not one of these. I never been one of these type of people to be out in the front, and I guess I would need a sales guy, because I'm not someone that can convince somebody to purchase my products. As you can see, I'm fumbling in this interview, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'll be fumbling on my YouTube channel. So it's not that I'm not confident. Like once I get into something that I know in and out what I'm talking about, I ain't gonna fumble. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm just not great at convincing people to buy something. You know what I'm saying? I've never just been that type of, like, a sales guy type of, you know, person where I can, you know, talk people into doing stuff. But so I would need somebody I would need to at least a partner with someone, which I'm actually working on something like that, which I'm not really talking about it, but that's something that's in the works. I'm working with a buddy of mine to try to get into the contracting game.
Okay, that's what's up, man. I think I got better because I just like to talk, but I'm not a, I don't, my approach is a little different. I don't really don't try to sell nothing to nobody. I just, my stuff is there. They see me, they like what I'm about, then they go visit the site. You know, they go from there and then they'll see somebody retweet or leave a review. And then they say, oh, okay, yeah. Like so many people say, I found you on YouTube or Twitter. And that's kind of like, okay. I don't want to convince somebody to spend with me. Like, you know, my price pretty much is my price. You'll go pay whatever somewhere else. And, you know, once you see the value in me or the value I'm getting to others, then I feel like I don't really have to do much convincing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I do with that. Because basically right now what I do is service-based anyway until I, like you said, I actually got a course that I'm working on as well. So until that comes out and maybe do an ebook and other stuff I've been thinking about doing as well. But, you know, for me, I just know I look at stuff I know people need, and like even interviewing people, like interview today, like I know what whoever want to do what I do or what I've done, I know what they need to succeed in that, and that's gonna be what I do. It's okay, no fluff or no BS. Like, listen, it might not be easy. If you finish this course, you might not get hired next week. You might not get hired the next 3 months, but I guarantee you're gonna eventually get hired. And
yeah.
If you follow these steps to success, you know, so it's one of those situations that I kind of.
But see, I think yours is a little bit different. And the reason I say that, because you're just dealing with people on an individual basis. And what I guess what I was and maybe that's why I explained it that way. Okay. The way I explained it, I was thinking more of going into a boardroom trying to present.
Oh, yeah.
Or say that I can offer this service. I'm not good at that type of stuff. I guess that's what I mean. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Okay. But I think I was going to probably get to that eventually as well.
Oh,
I
mean, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I do with my role now, some of the type of stuff when we have like our meetings talking to like, you know, the different department heads.
Yeah. But,
you know, so that gets me comfortable. And with this next endeavor I'll be doing a lot of talking. So I've been preparing myself to talk to people, because that's really the hardest / easiest part. As long as I can have me and you talking, if I could talk to C-level execs like this and be like I was listening to, I want to say it was you and one of the last ones you did, when he was telling them, hey, if we don't get this device every time, every minute, you know, we're down, we lose $5,000.
Yeah.
And then, so stuff like that, that's super simple for them to understand. They understand money. Mm-hmm. You can tell them, hey, this is going to make us more money, or if you don't do this, you're going to lose more money. Same way if I was doing a company and, you know, we were going in there to help them with like their security and awareness training or something like that. It was like, well, you know, if you do get breached, you got a potential of losing X amount on top of building your reputation back, which may cost you a couple millions of dollars, when you can just probably mitigate that down, you know, to possibly zero. That's pretty much what that is, but I definitely see that, you know, whatever you do, it's gonna work out for you. I'm just gonna say I'm a broken record, I repeat myself all the time, but all they're gonna do is gonna go onto your channel and see you for who you are. I'm like, okay, because I think that's happened to me ever since I branded myself. Like, my LinkedIn does not stop blowing up. People hit me up all times of the night about stuff. And that's how it is. And also, guys, I didn't throw this in there because this technically was like a job search one. But if you're struggling and you don't have experience, like, upload some videos of you doing some labs or some walkthroughs. So when you apply to jobs with the recruiters or whoever, you can send them the links. And so they send them to the hiring manager, whoever. And they say, oh, okay, they're decent enough of knowing how to do this. You know, let's talk to them. Mm-hmm. So that's a little nugget that actually does help. Because in one of my videos... No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, should you be doing that or whatever? And the reason I ask that, because I haven't been doing that on my LinkedIn. Like, I don't upload any of my stuff like that.
It's not uploaded. It's like almost just links. On YouTube. They do like my links. Like, they all go see my podcast or stuff, or I haven't done in a while because I've been focusing like on Twitter. Twitter's better for me, but I use this app, and this, you probably can use this if you don't like to post a lot, like to market a lot. It was free on AppSumo, but it's called SocialBee. And if you notice, if you pay attention to my page, you'll start seeing almost at the same time every day, something to post about my podcast, something to post a playlist, something to post a blog post. I'm not doing that. Social B, I put the links in Social B, and Social B posts all that stuff. It posts it to Twitter, I think my Facebook page, and LinkedIn.
Okay.
What I used to do on LinkedIn is just make a lot of posts as far as just, you know, people who are in the job search trying to, you know, let them know or something they can work on, and people come like that. So, you know, I've had recruiters tell me they love my channel, and they send applicants, you know, to my channel to check out, you know, my stuff, you know, when they're needing help. So that's kind of some stuff. But yeah, I don't know if it's free or not. It's some other ones, like if you want to do something for free, I used to use Buffer.
Okay.
Buffer was pretty good too. I just had to, I don't know, maybe if you pay for it, it may have an option. I'm doing with Social B. Social B was just a sale that I found on AppSumo. AppSumo is like a good site that has some hit or miss things when it comes to getting deals on some software. So definitely check out AppSumo.
Okay. I definitely check that out too.
But yeah, man, I think we didn't answer everything besides, you probably mentioned it, but I can't remember. Now I know what area you're in from when I was on your channel, but, can you, you know, you care to disclose what area that like you, stay in for the listeners?
Oh yeah. I don't mind. I'm in, Las Vegas, Nevada. So if anybody needs any help getting into the IT field, I'm down to mentor, you know what I'm saying? You gotta show that you serious, you know what I'm saying? Cause I don't want to waste my time. You know, at the end of the day, time is money, just like it is for you. And so just don't waste my time. I won't waste your time. And I'll definitely mentor you and try to help you get into the IT field, help you try to come successful in this field. Because at the end of the day, you know, tech is going to be one of the top industries, or it is the top industry now, or one of them. And they're going to need people in the future. Like right now, it was an article I read a while back that it's thousands of cybersecurity professionals that they need, that they're understaffed right now. So they need people to get into this field, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a great opportunity for people to hop into it, and get these certifications and get started and get into it. And, you know, and it's a lot of money to be made.
Thanks. So, how is that, that area for IT in Vegas? Is it decent? Oh. It's pretty good. How is it?
A lot of the jobs here, see, and that's the thing. I kind of had like good and bad experiences here in Las Vegas. And, you know, I'll be, you know, super frank. I mean, the gaming industry is what runs everything here. You know what I'm saying? So if you can get a job in one of those casinos as a cybersecurity professional, because they're looking for stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? If you can get in there as an analyst or a help desk or something like that, you know, you'll be golden, especially if you. And this is key when you live in Vegas. It's kind of like it's kind of like working with the DOD. If you get a gaming license. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what they call it. It's a gaming license. Cause you're going to need that depending on what you're working on and where you're working at, what company you work, what casino you're working at. That's going to be the game changer. Cause once you get it, you know what I'm saying? You could jump casinos, you know, for better careers or better positions and all that stuff. So once you get that, you know, it's the sky's the limit, kind of like that clearance with the government. You know, so.
Okay. Well, hey, y'all heard it here right here for the game industry. I'm glad it works better like that, because Shreveport has like, well, 5 casinos now, and they was not trying to pay IT people. When I was still there, I was like, all right, y'all tripping, fam.
That's because they ran from out here. I don't know if you know that. A lot of them are owned by these companies that are out here. Right. Yep. Down in Louisiana, and I know that for a fact, because I was working for Harris. I know it's a couple of them a couple, and actually, to be honest, and I'll just tell this to everybody, to be honest, a lot of these casinos are owned by like 3 or 4 corporations. all these casinos, all them casinos on the strip are owned by three or four corporations. Yep.
Just like, you know, the hotel industry and stuff like that. Shoot, I actually plan to be back out there for my guy's his birthday next year. He wants everybody to come out to Vegas. So I'm definitely going to hit you up.
Yeah, hit me up, man. Hit me up.
See, I wish I would have known you when I was there 2 years ago, because I'm talking about all expenses paid to Splunk Conference.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was in, I think I told you I was staying in Planet Hollywood, but had the manager did it right, like he was supposed to, they was going to put us in the Venetian, because the conference was in the Venetian. So okay. We had to walk to the Venetian every morning, but I was like, you know, it was cool. It was very good for sightseeing. I just didn't really, mm-hmm. The people I was with, you know, they weren't too fun. So I was like, man. And I found out I was going a week before I was supposed to go. Like, I'm talking about, he sent me a casual teams message. Want to go to Vegas? I'm like, when? And that's literally how it was. And my manager, she was on maternity leave at the time. She was like, no, I told him to tell y'all months ago about that.
Wow.
You can't beat no free trip to Vegas.
Yeah, but, not at all.
But yeah, man, not to hold you long, but tell the people, I mean, we got Keep It Techie here. Is that the same on all your socials?
Yeah, all my social media is the same. Keep It Techie, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and whatever else. It's all Keep It Techie.
All right, cool. Y'all know where to find me at. Links in the description. I appreciate y'all for tuning in with us. And, hey, I appreciate all y'all do. Y'all making the channel grow.